sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Okay. Busy week in real estate, putting homes on the market. So not as many buyers as we've had.
It's a very interesting market. We get asked all the time, what's happening in the market? Is it a buyer's market? Is it a seller's market? And it is a interesting market because it really depends on the neighborhood. But for the most part, there's not a lot of homes up for sale right now, is there?
No, there are not. In fact, and home prices. Let's talk about prices. Prices have gone down a little more than 1%, slightly more than 1% from a year ago. So, June of last year.
And that's across the board. Is that?
Actually, that's a national number and it's a local number.
Okay.
That's our number here. So, the economist, I don't put much faith in economists, but they say that we're not likely to reach this point of June of 2022 again for a while. So, so they expect a downward trend in house prices, but we've had an upward trend in interest rates, right?
Yeah, right.
So everybody would want – they took a poll. Are you ready for this? As though this makes any sense at all. What do people want? They want interest rates at about 5.5%. Well, what does that have to do with anything?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
No. Interest rates are going to be greatly affected by – political motivations at this point, because the Feds keep going up. They went up another 0.25% this week, right?
Right. So. Yeah. Well, that, like those questions, we get asked often and is in a headline of a news article, you know, people want interest rates to be 5% or whatever percent. It always takes it from the perspective of the borrower, because if you were the one lending the money to someone to buy a house, what percentage would you want?
And that particular question was kind of across the board, because it was people who are having money invested and people who are borrowing money. They want the borrower's money to be about 5.5%. And they want their interest rate that they collect to be about 4%. Well, there's rarely that close of a margin between those two.
Yeah.
So usually, you know, there's over 2%. Nearly 3% difference,
right?
Most of the time,
yeah.
You know,
so. Yeah. So, what you're seeing is things are kind of going to be steady. It's kind of is what the prediction. Now, nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody knows.
I have a crystal ball. That- You keep forgetting it's right on my desk.
that is true. You do have one right there.
I do.
I've looked into it, and for me, it doesn't work.
Well, it does have the information in there. It's just that there's a little tiny bubble in that crystal ball. And everything I seem to need to see is just beyond the bubble.
That sounds like a new Harry Potter book, just beyond the bubble.
Just beyond the bubble, yeah. Yeah.
But what we're reading from a lot of experts is things are kind of going to be kind of steady as they go, a little bit decline in pricing, but not anticipation of a lot of homes coming on the market. Supply is still low.
Well, it's going to stay low so long as people have those 3% and 4% interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we didn't have a 5% interest rate very long. It was just a snap of a fingers, and it was at 6.
Right.
So the 3% and 4% interest rates, I kind of think people will end up keeping those, most of those properties. So do you know what was really interesting is, you know, two of my kids are military, and so one of them sold a house. I guess it closes this week. And it's interesting to me because he was sitting on a 2.5% 30-year loan.
That was assumable because
that was assumable
it was a VA loan.
Veteran loan.
Yeah.
And the people who bought the house took out a new loan.
Oh, my gosh.
But they didn't have the equity because house prices have gone up so much.
Yeah.
So
if you're not sure what we're talking about assuming a loan, a few weeks ago we did a whole show about it with Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. And you can go back to anywhere that you subscribe to podcasts. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. It's on iHeartMedia. And you can look up and subscribe and go back and listen each week and hit subscribe and hit like on there. If you are a fan of the show, it would be much appreciated.
Yeah, you get special treatment at our office when you say that you heard us on the radio.
That's right. That's right. And we get calls all the time with people. I heard you on the radio. I want to, especially Becky's favorites.
Yeah.
Like that's a big hit.
Well, I mean, and my favorites, for those who may not know, are the vendors that we work with. And I got another email this week, and a follow-up email this week. It was like, did you see my last email? I still want to be on your favorites list. What do I need to do? Well, you need to rewind the clock and start working for me at least 10 years ago. Because the thing is those are tried and true professionals that do a great job at a very fair price. They're dependable. They don't steal your stuff, that kind of thing. I mean, they've just been used by us and our clients for a very long time and have proven themselves to be great vendors. And there's all kinds of people on there.
Yeah, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's favorites, and you'll see all the list of favorites. And I would encourage you that if you need something within your home and you don't see a vendor that's in the favorites, just call our office at 405-722-3232. Because I can nearly guarantee you, I'll give you a 99.5% guarantee that through the years, Becky has dealt with whatever problem you're dealing with.
Well, someone called last week and wanted a glass company. Well, I've dealt with a lot of glass companies, and I had one guy, but he retired 10 years ago, and I've not found another consistent glass company that I can put on my favorites list, because it seems like you'll call one time and their prices will be high. You call another time, their prices will be the lowest. And I do have the most dependable glass company, I think, is Capital Glass. But, you know, you have to shop it.
Yeah.
And know what you're paying for. So, I mean, I can tell you, usually I will give you at least two. If they're on the vendor list, on my favorites list, I'm likely not to give you more than one because my experience is with one.
Yeah.
I mean, consistent time after time after time experience.
So we're going to be talking today about pricing a house. And so let's just start with what's the most important thing about pricing? What's the one most important thing?
That you get it right. I mean, you price it right from the very beginning. That's the major thing.
It's the major thing is you don't want to overprice. We'll be talking about the other points in pricing your home to sell this summer right here on Oklahoma News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time to talk to our money man.
NMLS number 196-895.
Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Mark. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing absolutely fantastic.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Hey, Becky. How are you?
I'm doing great. Tell us about interest rates. I mean, the Feds went up 0.25% yesterday. So what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, things are have inched up again to that 7% range. It's probably a good number. 6 7/8, 7%. I was talking to someone yesterday, Becky, and you remember the days of having a par interest rate with no points. In today's environment, Matt and I don't have a par quote on our rate sheet. So if someone wanted to, Dean, I don't want to pay a 1% or one discount point charge, you're probably, it's not available, and you're going to pay a point or half or a quarter up to that 7.5 range. So a par quote doesn't exist in this rate environment. Rates have inched up, and to pay a point or two, you may get to 6.75, 6.875, but it's not terrible. The average rate over the last 40 years is 7.75. So this is not a bad number, but coming off twos, threes, and fours, it does take some adjustment.
And for those of you who haven't been in the business 40 years and don't know what par means, I mean, it's kind of like playing golf. It's par is equal.
Right.
So that if someone quotes you a 6.875 interest rate at par, that means you don't pay any discount points or any portion of a discount point to get that. But if you want 6.75, then you might have to pay a discount point. And a discount point's equal to 1% of your loan amount. So if you're getting a $200,000 loan, it's going to be $2,000 up front. The good news is that you can ask the seller to pay that for you. Right, Dean?
Yes, and I'm seeing that return kind of like it did in the pre-COVID days.
Right.
And would you guys agree?
We see that pretty often, but I will tell you that the contracts that are accepted in our office do not have the seller paying closing costs, because we sell a lot in the mid-price range. I mean, the $200,000 to $400,000 range. And in that price range, there's so few homes on the market that if you want to buy it, you better be bringing cash or not asking the seller to pay anything extra, or you're not going to get it.
Right.
It is still, and we're going to be talking about that today, about how the certain neighborhoods just kind of lend themselves to multiple offers, and multiple offers tend to result in better options for a seller to choose from.
I would agree.
Yeah, but we do see that. And, I will say that patriotism rings true in Oklahoma. Many parts of the country, sellers are not accepting a VA loan because it does cost the seller a tiny bit more money. What's it, about $300 more to sell to a veteran than to sell to, say, an FHA or conventional buyer? And but they're going, well, I'll take the veteran. So I found that discussion at a table where a lot of us were just kind of sitting around talking at a national event. And they, I said, well, Oklahomans don't mind paying that little tiny bit of extra to sell to a veteran. And
right.
So anyway, that is the interest rates are sometimes better for a VA loan, FHA loan.
To me, a VA loan is a great product. I think it takes a bad rap a little bit in the industry, because everyone says, well, it takes the appraiser so long to get out there. That's not always the case, Becky. You know that.
Yeah. Well, right now,
they're always picking apart, and that's not true. All it takes is one bad apple, though, and then it forms that opinion that, VA appraiser is tough.
Well, and appraisals have changed a lot over the years. And Dean, thank you so much. You always stay right on top of it for us.
If you want to get a hold of Dean, if you want to get a hold of Dean Riddell, you can call him at 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Or go to BeckyIvins.com. You'll see SWBC Mortgage right there at the top. As always, thank you, Dean.
Have a great show.
Thank you. Okay. Remind us what we're talking about.
So we're talking about pricing. I asked you a question, what's most important? And you answered pricing it right. What does that mean?
Well, pricing it right to start with. You know, I was listening to a different radio show and a real estate show. And they were saying, well, this house has been reduced by $43,000. This house has been reduced by $19,000. This house has been reduced, yada, yada, yada. Well, yes, sometimes you have reductions. But I will tell you, price it right to start with. Have you ever tried to run down a hill? It's hard.
Not in a long time.
Well, it's hard to run down a hill.
It does.
You know, so the thing is we are, it's a very slight slope right now. It's not a big mountain or anything. But if prices are trending very slowly down, you need to get out in front of the pricing when you price the home to start with. And the good thing about that is, let's just say you've got a $400,000 house and it, you know, you want to price it at 410 because it's solidly at 410 in the comparable market. If you price it at 399, if so long as the other, you're not underpriced, you don't want to underprice it either, but you need to give it a slight edge because when you give it, price it right, you still get multiple offers and the price ends up inching up higher than it would have to start with. Not a whole lot, but, you know, a half to 1%. I mean, 1% is $4,000 of a $400,000 house. You want to get that advantage.
Yeah. And part of this is not rocket science. Like, you don't have to overcomplicate this. Sellers want to sell for the most. Buyers want to buy for the least. But what do you say, Becky, to sellers who say, well, we can always come down on the price?
Well, I get that a lot, by the way, but and you could do that. I mean, you could always price it high and come down. But the fact is, if you study the market, those homes end up selling for less money in the end if they're overpriced, particularly when you go over a price point. And a price point at a $400,000 level, it's $25,000 to $50,000. Is people's price point. Like if you're wanting to buy a house for $350 to $360, you might put your price range up to $400 just in case you find something where they will come down, right? Well, if you go over $400, you're not people that are going to buy your house, if it's a $385,000 house and you price it at $405, the people that are going to buy that house are not even going to see it's on the market because they've set their ceiling of what they look at.
Because they're looking 350 to 400 or 325 to 400.
Yes, exactly.
But they're not looking over 400.
No, yeah. No. And I mean, and that works with every price point. If you're going to buy a house for $225,000 is your select price range. If you price your house at 255, the people that are going to buy your house aren't going to see it's for sale if their price limit is 250.
So what is the critical points for really coming down to a comparable? Because oftentimes we start to meet with people who have a price in mind because my friend's house, my neighbor's house, so-and-so sold their house for $350,000. Therefore, mine should be worth at least that.
Well, and I will tell you, we get that a lot too, but I will tell you that most of the time, and I say more than half the time, the folks think their neighbor got that for their house. And I will look it up and they'll say, oh, well, they got $375 for their house. Well, it was listed for $375, but they got $351 or whatever it was, you know, yeah. So they don't really know what their neighbor's house sold for. But when it comes right down to it, what is the major thing in any kind of real estate transaction, location, location, location. That just has everything to do with value of a property, is where it's located, what part of the city is it in, where does it sit within a neighborhood? Does it back up to the turnpike? Does it back up to low-end apartments? Does it back up to a school playground? I mean, there's a lot of things in location that aren't the section of the city.
Yeah, the entrance to the neighborhood versus the back of the neighborhood.
Right.
There's a preference for more people have.
Backing up to a stagnant pool of water or backing up to a spring-fed lake, right?
Those are big difference. We'll be back with more talking about pricing here in the Central Oklahoma market right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins, and it is time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Well, our word is price. And there is a price to pay. The price is the sum of money or consideration for an item or intellectual property even. But a price is a set amount of consideration. So that's the price.
So when it comes to pricing a home, the price is not the only thing apart that you consider in the offer. I mean, there is the type of loan it is, the timing of it, and
what's considered as part of the property. I mean, are you selling? We're dealing with something now where our buyers went under contract to buy something, and then we realize that it's not our seller. It's somebody else's seller, doesn't even own the property.
Oh, my gosh.
So we've got to figure out, well, what do we do?
Yeah. One of the questions that always pops up is what is included within the price? What is considered personal property? What's considered part of the property? And if you want to call in and join the conversation today, super producer Mike Gannon got the lines up. Lines have been out this morning, but they are back up. You can call in at 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. So what is included typically within the price?
Well, the price of real property, we call it real property as opposed to personal property, is what's included in that. Okay. It is the land, the improvements up on the land, and the appurtenances to that. So basically, it's real estate, but not personal items. Mm-hmm. But you can include – a lot of people have the misconception you cannot include personal property with the purchase of a home. And that goes back to when appliances stayed with the home. And in Central Oklahoma – that is not a normal. Lots of parts of the country, it is very normal to leave refrigerator, washer, and dryer with the property. Here we don't. But especially the Veterans Administration does not want you to mortgage a washing machine for 30 years. So they don't want that included in the mortgage, because then you would have to keep up that for the life of the loan. So when you have personal property, what we do is we write a little phrase saying, on closing, the following personal property shall convey to the buyer at no additional cost. And sometimes it could be a tractor. It could be a refrigerator. It could be whatever. and if it's personal property, not real property. So what's included, whatever the contract says is what's included. But typically, real property is the dirt upon dirt or water, whichever it is on your land, and the improvements, as in the permanent structures on that land, like the fence. Sometimes I've had people take down a fence. Who takes down a fence? Well, it was just temporary. Well, does the buyer think it was temporary?
Right.
Landscape
right.
lighting. People yeah. take landscape lighting. I'm going, well, it's just in the ground. I mean, it's just a stake in the ground. They're solar, so we're taking them with us. Well, let's make that clear in our contract as to exactly what goes with the property.
I know that's one of the things that you teach our team is be on the lookout for things that are going to potentially be misunderstood when right. it comes to the closing. You don't want to get to closing and someone say, well, I thought that was included in the price. I mean, that shelf on the wall, which is one of the things that often is that attached, is it not attached? Well, we make sure we just write it into the contract, whether it is to be there or it is not to be there.
Right. And paragraph 4 of our contract is inclusions that will stay with the property. And there's 3 columns of things that will stay with the property. You know, a few years ago that was changed because of Deer Creek water. The water meter at Deer Creek, now it's very expensive, about twice as much as it was, but it was about $2,500 at the time to get a Deer Creek water. We sold a property and the sellers took the water meter because they can take it back to Deer Creek and get their refund. But then the buyers moved in and did not have water. And of course, it was a weekend. They couldn't get water until Deer Creek Water opened and they got it installed. So, I mean, what a mess. But now, water meters are part of the printed contract that stay
yeah.
with the property. So there are certain things like a mailbox stays with the property. There are remote controls that do ceiling fans stay with the property. If you have garage door remote controls, they stay with the property. So there are things that stay with the property that's written in. But then paragraph 4A, you write in anything else that's not on that list that you expect to stay. And then 4B is exclusions. And sometimes buyers can get really tacky with exclusions. They'll go, take all the curtains that have tassels on them. I mean, well, let's just insult someone. Remove all debris from the property. Well, I mean, if it's a junky property, you might want to put that on there because otherwise it's likely to stay.
Right.
But there is, you know, what some people's treasure might be somebody else's trash, right? So, but the price of a property depends on what does stay with it. So, if you're moving a shed, had that happen recently, it was a portable shed, but it was huge, but they moved it.
Well, let's talk about pricing things that are in the backyard, things like sheds, over how much value do they have, or a gazebo, or pool.
Well, you can do that. That's pretty easy. I'm actually writing a continuing education course on that right now, on how to price a property and then the variables that come into that. And the a pool, if nothing else in the neighborhood has a pool and you have a pool, it is worth no money on an appraisal. Now, will a buyer pay more for the house that has the pool? They likely will, but they would have to pay it in cash because it's not going to appraise for enough money, right? So, but if every house in the neighborhood has a pool, except for 3, those 3 are going to sell for less money because, and you can calculate that. That's not a number that's difficult to calculate because you calculate what does have a pool, what doesn't. Do the difference, and that's it, right? And storage sheds are pretty much worthless on an appraisal and on value because some people would just soon not have a shed in their backyard. unless you're on acreage. And then if you're on a decent size acreage, 5 acres or more, you better have an outbuilding because everybody does. And if you don't, your property's worth less. How much less? Kind of depends on what the other properties are selling for. I'll tell you a figure that I use on outbuildings is between $10 and $20 a square foot, kind of depending on, does it have concrete floor? Does it have horse stalls in it? Does it have electricity to it? Does it have any water run to it?
Plumbing, yeah.
Yeah. So there's different levels of outbuildings.
Yeah.
So.
So, and then same thing with pools, because oftentimes I have found people are expecting to get exactly what they put into a pool into an appraisal.
Well, those people are going to go through life disappointed because they're not going to get that money out of a pool. When you put in a pool, you just expect that 75% of it's gone. You put it in for your own enjoyment. You don't put it in to increase the value. There are several things. We've done shows on this, but it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
What adds value and what doesn't add value to a property. And we need to do that again because that changes over the years. You know, a backyard deck, is that worth as much as it cost or is it not? What is today's thing on what is worth money when the extras, you know, that you can do to improve your home or add to it? You know, but just for a typical pricing, you have to study it and get right on. We let our buyers and our sellers look at the same list of comparable properties. And then we file it in our file so that we can say, okay, well, we showed you these comparables and you chose to pay $20,000 more for this property because there was competition. But when you sell it, we can't guarantee that it's going to be worth $20,000 more than the next property that sells. Because one of the things is because the extras change over time. You know, like back in the 70s, 80s, curtains, custom curtains were a big deal. Man, if you had nice draperies that were custom made, that really added to your house. Now, today, does that add to your house? It does not. In fact, rip those down because people want the wide open, look outside type things. So things change over time. You know, does the grill inside make any difference?
When we get back, we'll be talking about how to price against the competition right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal. Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn on 63rd, just west of Meridian, and in Yukon, just on the east side as you come in on Route 66.
Well, okay, our smoking hot deal, I'm just looking. It must have sold last night. The one I had planned sold last night, but I do have another one here that I think we have an open house tomorrow on Cedarburg, which is 420 Cedarburg Court. That is in the Stone Mill edition. It's $590,000. A double lot with a nice big swimming pool.
Yeah. Talking about a backyard that has value.
I mean, yeah.
Huge, big double lot. Beautiful.
And everyone loves Stone Mill. It's about 3,600 square feet. It's a beautiful home. It's not a very old home. That home was built just, I don't know, 6 years ago maybe. I can't remember. But anyway, fairly new home.
Yep. Stone Mill is just south of Yukon High School. And Chris is doing the open house there.
Okay. And then on 161st Terrace in the Still Meadow neighborhood, that's priced at just under 600. It's 599,990, just under 600. It's about 4,000 square feet. And actually, the appraisal shows it to be about 4,300 square feet. But I can't quote that because the seller can't find the appraisal. And if I don't have the data, I can't report it as being that.
If you need a home with room, that home, so I love the upstairs of the home because it has kind of a central meeting, almost like a living room style upstairs that the bedrooms go off of on 161st. Beautiful.
Okay. So that's our smoking hot deal brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill. I want to kind of go back to our sponsor of the word of the day because I want to remind everybody this is not for Robin's Roofing benefit. This is for your benefit. I sent Robin's Roofing by three of my properties, and all three are totaled with hail damage. So this week I'm sending them by three more, and the next week I'll probably send them by three more. I'm not sure I can take more than three in a week being told that they're total in hail damage. But you only have a year from the date of the hail damage in order to file your insurance claim. So don't dilly-dally around on that. I mean, call Robin's Roofing at 728-3700 is their phone number, and call them to come check out your roof. They'll meet the insurance adjuster and kind of point out the hail damage and they'll assess it to start with just to tell you whether or not they believe it will be totaled.
It's what I love because you can call them and they will look up your address and they can tell just from the phone call, yes, you had a major hailstorm that went through your neighborhood, went through your street. Then they'll come out and take a look and give you an assessment of their assessment that they believe there's enough damage to put in a claim. And then they'll meet the insurance out there.
Yeah, so that they can point out and the insurance, you don't get a confusion as to whether or not you need an insurance claim or not. So, I mean, Robin's put on a roof on your house, and they're getting ready to put another one on a different house, right?
Yep, they have.
So,
correct.
They put a lot of roofs on a lot of houses for me, and I trust them. They're going to be a trustworthy roofing company. Robin's Roofing, 728-3700. Okay, what's our question here?
So the question is, does it make a difference in pricing a home if they're the only home in a neighborhood that's currently for sale and it's a popular neighborhood, or there's 10 homes in that same neighborhood? How do you help in both cases? How do you help that home to sell?
Well, if there's only one for sale in the neighborhood, you look and see what has sold in the neighborhood, and you adjust it for different features of the home. Same thing if there's 10 homes in the neighborhood. Like the house on Cedarburg in Stone Mill, there's a lot of homes in that neighborhood for sale. They're new. There's new construction, much smaller homes that are being built. But there's not another one like the Cedarburg house that we have for sale. It's a larger house on two lots. It's just quite a find in the Yukon area to be in an established neighborhood. It's a bit of an upscale neighborhood. So you have to just compare it. If there's sometimes the more homes that are for sale, the less a home your home will sell for. So you want to be priced very competitively, but not always. Sometimes, if all the other homes in the neighborhood have been priced $20,000 over market and nothing has sold, you price yours right. It's going to sell. And right is historical data plus current data. You have to look at your competition, and you have to price it in an area that it's going to sell. And it's hard to paint this with a broad stroke, Mark, because every neighborhood, every house is individual. And that's what Judy and I spend our time doing. Judy is my listing partner on our team, and we spend our time going through and pinpointing exactly the value we think we can get for this house. And sometimes time is real important to a seller, particularly on investment property. Say they've done a 1031 tax exchange. There's a lot of value to a fast closing or a slow closing. Like we've got some folks getting married today. They didn't want us to sell their house before they got married. So a slow closing gives them an opportunity. Get married, go on your honeymoon, come back, and then move, right? So timing has a lot to do with it. And then the quality of the buyer has a lot to do with the value of what a seller will accept. The house has a certain value, and that's based on basically a net to seller value. It is not based on financing and closing cost type value.
One of the areas that I had been shocked sometimes that that you teach your team to be very, very aware of is the competition. And there are times when I've gone out and talked with a seller who has talked with other realtors, and I asked them, now, have you looked at what other competition's out there? And often it's no.
Well, when you look at, I get people surprised that I walk all the way around a house when looking at the house to value, to help determine a value. They're going, well, you're like the fifth realtor, but no one's ever gone out and looked at the side yards. They peer out the back windows. Well, no, there's a lot to be, there's a lot to do with value of a property on the mm-hmm. side yards and looking at the back of the house. You've got to know exactly what you're selling and what buyers will pay for.
Yeah.
HGTV has made our buyers a little bit more superficial, and they will pay for pretty more so than they ever have in the past. It's been structure that they've paid for, longevity of the roof, that kind of thing. Now buyers put more emphasis on interior finishes than ever before. So
it's HGTV effect again.
Yes, I know, right? Listen, our Smoking Hot Deal, by the way, was brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill.
Delicious Mexican food. Thanks for being with us, dear listener. We look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.
May the Lord always watch over you, and may all of your hopes turn to wishes, and may all of your wishes come true.